God's Word together. Once again, young people, thank you for that wonderful song. Amen. And when they had made an end of dividing the land of inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-serah in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. Reading over that, you don't see a whole lot, but there really is some wonderful truth, because as we look at these two or three verses we'll consider tonight, there are some appalling things that are happening among God's people. And so for a little while, I want to speak to you on this thought as we work our way through the city. You'll never be able to hide who you really are through the passage. You'll never be able to hide who you really are. And do you know that's true? This world sees who you are. They know who you are for the Lord. And let's consider that thought tonight. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Several years ago in Long Beach, California, a fellow walked into a fried chicken place and he purchased two fried chicken tenders for him and his date late one afternoon. The young woman who was working the counter that day, she inadvertently gave him, instead of the chicken dinners, the entire day's proceeds, all of the sales for the entire day, a full bag of cash. After driving away the man and the girl, they made their way to their picnic spot and they sat down and they began to open the bags, but they found far more than just chicken. They found a large bag of cash, $800 in cash. This man, however, was a bit unusual from many people in our world that would find themselves in that situation. What he did is he packed everything right back up and he carried it back to the restaurant that they had gotten it from. Old Mr. Perfect here. He walked right into the restaurant and he became an instant hero as he gave that $800 in day's sales and proceeds back to the manager. The manager, of course, was absolutely elated. I mean, his job, obviously, it was on the line because he had lost all that money. And the manager said, "Thank you so very much. You wait right here. I'm going to call the newspaper and ask them to come out and do a story, interview you on your good deed. You are the most honest man I've ever met." And with that, the man leaned in to the manager and whispered to the manager, and he said, no, let's not do that, okay? You see, the woman that I am with is not my wife. She's somebody else's wife. Isn't it amazing, ladies and gentlemen, how some people can look so good at sometimes? They can seem like they've got it all together sometimes. They can do the right thing sometimes. But when they are pressured and put into a situation where it could compromise their success or their safety, they will always reveal who they really are. Now, every one of us are here tonight, and every one of us have got a different story, do we not? In our lives and in our past. But we need to understand that we will all reveal who we really are. Now, in these final verses of Joshua chapter 19, we are seeing this remarkable truth that is given to us. And we are finding right here the final verses, and we are seeing this principle given of what I just gave the illustration of. We are seeing the revelation of who people really are. We're seeing that on the good front, and then we're seeing that on the bad front as well. When the time came for the finalization of the division up of the land, and that's what we're seeing in these verses, Joshua has done his job. He has fulfilled his new lot in life that God had given to him. And when this time is coming, they are in, of course, this period of transition. We see those in this text who are out only to care for themselves. just to take care of themselves. It did not matter, friends, how they did it. They were going to take care of themselves. They would cut somebody else's throat to do it. They would push them down. They would run all over top of them to do it if they had to, but they were just out to take care of themselves. But then there was also one in particular, who lived his life holding the hand of God. And he focused entirely on revealing who he really was, of that being a man who honored the Lord. The principle that we are seeing here on this Sunday night in Joshua chapter 19 is simply that you will never be able to hide who you really are. Now, let me give you three truths as we lay out this text to us that we may understand what the principles are that the Bible is teaching us. First of all, I want you to think with me right now about the completion of their claims. The completion of their claims. Oh, okay, I mentioned earlier about how that you're seeing the good and the bad that are being revealed here. And we are seeing, as we just read in this verse, the completion of their claims. And we are seeing this claim. First of all, it was a claim of accomplished business. They had come to a point where they had finished the task that they had set out to do. At this point, the land had, for the most part, in Canaan, it had already been conquered. And now Joshua has divided up all of the land among the tribes. Remember, that was his new lot in life. He was to divide up all of the land. And then we come to chapter 19 and verse 49. Look at it. It says right here, and when they had made an end of dividing up the land for inheritance. In other words, the job was done. What we talked about the past several weeks, the task was complete. So when Joshua accomplished this lot in his life, this task, when God told him and gave him the command of what his new lot was in life, you need to understand that Joshua had every intent of completing the task that God had given him. An accomplished business. And he was going to see it all the way through. Not just a little bit of it, but he was going to see it all the way through. Now listen to me, church. God does not, do you hear me? He does not give a command to us that does not require a commitment from us. God does not give a command to us that does not require a commitment from us. This principle that we are given in God's Word here on this Sunday night, it is simply telling us that what we start, we had better finish. You had better see it all the way through. It does not matter how long it's going to take. It does not matter how difficult that it's going to be, how much it is going to cost us. It's just like going back several chapters earlier. We must keep our word. And when you make an agreement to do something, you've got to see it all the way through. And we're living in a society today that does not know how to see things all the way through. This business of committing to marriage. But then when days get long, when times get hard, when you don't have the resources to get through, you just quit or you do a halfway job in it. You need to understand that's not the will of God for your life. This business of working in this area, on this project for the church or the work of God, and you do it well, you make the commitment to do it, but then things get tough. You get busy and you just want to quit or do a halfway job at it. This matter of serving God in this ministry or that ministry, but goodness gracious, the pressure just gets on and then you quit or you do a halfway job at it. I think about Faith Promise in the moment of giving and making commitments to the Lord during mission conference. We're emotionally charged sometimes to make a commitment, but then life gets hard. We backslide just a little bit and we'll quit or we won't put our whole heart into it or we'll only go halfway. Now, folks, quitting may seem like the easy thing to do or just doing a half-hearted job at the moment. But you need to understand that will never cut it with God. Amen. God said, I do not accept somebody who just puts half of their heart in it. It's easy to do that, but God will not allow it. And I believe that one of the primary reasons that so many of us lack the peace of God in our heart, lack the fulfillment of the Lord in our lives, is simply because of this. We have started a whole lot of things, but we finished just a few things. Now, be very honest with yourself in your heart right now, would you? As you look back over your Christian journey since the day that you got saved, as you look back on it, can you look and can you think of several things that you started, commitments that you made to do for this or that, but you did not see it through all the way? You were just partially in. And there came a point when you quit and you did not put your whole heart in it. And what the truth is you're leaving a whole lot of things undone that God not only commanded, but He intended and He placed in your path to do. But we're leaving a lot of things undone. And so in this, we are seeing that there was the claims of accomplished business, but also there was the claims of assigned boundaries as well. We're seeing some assigned boundaries now. We talked last week about some boundaries, and do you remember? We talked about how you've got to know your limits. There are some things you can't do. You can't do everything, but in this instance here, we're talking about boundaries spiritually speaking. When it comes to living a life of victory, there are some things in this world you just as a Christian cannot go out and do. Boundaries. God's people today need to learn some things about boundaries. We need to draw some lines in the sand and say, I'm not going to cross these lines. Many, many, many years ago, two or three houses ago, we had a neighbor that was out behind us. And for whatever reason, my neighbor thought it appropriate to blow all of his leaves in my yard and leave them. That same neighbor felt it was okay to allow his dog to go into my yard to do what the dog does and allowed him to do that. That same neighbor thought it was okay for that same dog to bark all night long and had no problem with it. When I approached him about it, he was appalled at the fact that I had a problem with it. He didn't think it was an issue at all that he blew his leaves into my yard, that he was turned into his dog's bathroom, and that his dog, did it not, kept us awake all night long. It's when I start wearing earplugs. It really is, because there was a dog back there that was keeping me awake. I had a conversation with that man that day about boundaries. He didn't understand boundaries. But when you look at that in the spiritual world today, do you know that the professing Christian does not understand that there are boundaries that we are to have as a believer? There are things, there are places, there are people that we are not to associate with. There are lines that we as God's people simply cannot cross. God gave us boundaries that we are to abide in and we are to live by. Now, if you look at verse number 49 again, the Bible said that when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coast, and that word coast, it is actually translated to mean boundaries. It's talking about borders. Now, not only did God have borders for His nation, but God had borders for His tribes. And we remember from last week that those tribes, remember how we were talking about how that each tribe had to go out and it was a picture of the individual Christian life, remembering that the book of Joshua, it's an Old Testament book that teaches New Testament victory. And it was a picture, the tribe was, of the believer as they divided up to go out and possess what God had given to them. So there was boundaries not only for the nation, but there was boundaries for each individual tribe as well. If there was one piece of advice that I could give to every believer here this evening, it would be simply this. Study your Bible, know your Bible, to learn what God's boundaries are for you. Amen. The church today is full of people who have been told what boundaries are, and they have no idea why that boundary is there. We must study the Word of God. There are boundaries. There are lines that we cannot cross. There are borders that we cannot go on the other side of that God said simply no to. There is nothing, nothing that will stand in the way of a life of victory, nothing that will cause us any more than to leave things undone than by constantly testing, pushing, and stepping outside of God's boundaries for our life. You need to understand that you need to take God at His word. Listen to your spiritual conscience. And if your spiritual conscience on the inside of you is saying, no, don't do that, don't say that, don't go there, don't associate with that person, God has put a border in your life. God has put a boundary there in your life. It is for a purpose. It is because He loves you. It is not because He's trying to make life hard on you or God's word is unreasonable. It's because there are some boundaries and there are some borders. So we're seeing that there was the accomplished business, this claim of an accomplished business. And then we are seeing this claim of assigned boundaries. God said, I'm giving you some borders, some areas that you are to operate in and possess yourself. But thirdly, I want you to notice as well that we see the claim of associational belonging. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by this. And in verse number 19, we see it. It says, children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun. It says right here, among them, they are going to let Joshua live among them. Boy, God bless them for that, right? They're going to let Joshua have his own place. Israel gave Joshua his own land inheritance. It was among them. And when we hear that, we think, wow, how commendable. That's wonderful. They ought to have done that. They should elevate him. They ought to allow him to have that. And we start getting the idea that God's people did everything right here. But I don't believe that's the case whatsoever. For when you study this out further, you realize that they're only revealing who they really are. There is still a streak of carnality in the hearts of the people of God in Joshua 19. And let me show you why that's the case. For we not only see the completion of the claims, their claims, but I want you to notice, secondly, the contrast of their character. The contrast of their character. Someone has said this, you can judge a man pretty well by whether if, when given the opportunity, he would ask for a lighter burden or a stronger back. You'll see some character from people by how they carry their burdens. Are they trying to unload a burden? Or are they trying to ask God, God, give me a stronger back. Lord, the battle is great. Lord, the burden is heavy. God, I know you're trying to teach me something through it all. And I'm asking you right now, dear God, would you strengthen me that I could be greater for you, that I could press on for you? As we study, we see the contrast of their character. What we are seeing here, we are seeing a group of people who are saying, God, give me a lighter burden. And then we're seeing some people, one particular, who says, God, just give me a stronger back. The contrast of two totally different characters. Look at it and let's break it down together. For we see it, first of all, that there is the character of careless saints. We got some people here who do some classless things. Careless saints. Look in verse number 50. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him, that is Joshua, the city which he asked. Even Timnathsiah in Mount Ephraim. And he built the city, and he dwelt therein. Now again, when we read that, on the surface, that all looks really good. I mean, it looks like they did everything right. Israel was going to honor Joshua, and they were going to give him a piece of land. A piece of land that he was going to be able to go and settle on. He was going to be able to grow old on. He was going to retire on, and he would eventually even be able to die on. When you break it down further, however, you are seeing that this was a careless act. I would even go as far as saying that it was a classless act of the people of God. We notice the area that they gave him here. We notice the area that it is. It is named to us. And it is telling us this was a barren place in Palestine. It was a place in barren Palestine that had very limited water resources. It was a place that really you couldn't even grow much of anything, especially in any form of abundance. Do you see what God's people did to Joshua here? They gave him one of the worst places that there could have been in the land. Now, there's some of you right now that are looking at verse number 50, and you're noticing the words asked. that Joshua asked for this particular piece of property. The Lord said that he could have this particular piece of land, meaning that Joshua made a choice that this was the one that he wanted. But you would have thought that a man of Joshua's caliber, a man that God had his hand upon, a man that God used in such a mighty way, a man that was successful in bringing God's people into the land of Canaan, a man that even brought victory and led victory for them all through the land, a man that kept them straight spiritually while they were all through this whole process, you would have thought that Israel would have given him the best of the best of the best of the best of the land. Now, when he chose it, every person in every tribe should have stood up and they should have said, "No, Joshua, God has used you too much. God has been too good to us to give us the opportunity to serve with you. God has allowed you to be faithful and, my goodness, patient with a bunch of old misfits like us coming out of the wilderness across the Jordan River and conquering the land of Canaan. We refuse to give you that barren piece of land. You say that you want it, but we're not going to let you have it." There's a reason why Joshua did this, and we'll see that in just a minute. But when you look at this, it shows the contrast of character. It shows a group of people here who were willing and they were satisfied to let Joshua, this mighty man of God that had literally established this great nation, they were okay with the fact of sending him over to live, retire, and to die in a barren land, limited water, limited ability to even grow much, just because they themselves were wanting to get ahead a little bit. Just because they themselves were wanting something a little bit better. They wanted the more plush land. They wanted the land that was going to be more bountiful for them. I have thought and I have prayed over the past few days, particularly this week, of how that I needed to say what I'm about to say here. How that I should frame this, because I'm about to wade out into some dangerous waters if we're not careful. And I do not want to be misunderstood in any way. Because what I'm about to say has nothing to do, are you listening to me? Nothing to do with Linwood Baptist Church. Nothing. If it did, I would not say this. I wouldn't say it. I'd have some other preacher come in here and say it. I wouldn't say it. But it doesn't. Do you trust me there? Amen. And I've thought about this and I thought, do I even go here? But I want God's church to know the principles of His Word. Amen. And things that we need to know for years to come in our lives. Amen. But listen to me and hear my heart. What we are seeing Israel do to Joshua in this text is just as shameful of what we are seeing the modern church of America do to its preachers and its pastors. Amen. They live their whole life serving that church. They pour blood, sweat, and tears, the sunshine and the rain, the good and the bad, wiping our tears while we're in grief, laughing with us in those good days, burying our dead, and then in their old age, we send them off in retirement and made no plans whatsoever to assist them. That's the principle that we're seeing given here. They just sent Joshua off. "Thanks for what you did, pal. You did good. High five. Go over to there, that barren desert dust land over there, and you just enjoy your retirement. Maybe we'll send some Walmart Great Value waters over there to you. Maybe we'll send something over to help you from time to time." We talk a lot about the dying church of America. Will you let me talk to you for a second? Because right here is part of the problem, and I want to be as gracious as I can. Right here is part of the problem, and I mean no disrespect by this. So anybody here or anybody's listening, you are missing this by a million miles if you're getting the wrong idea. Churches in America today have got pastors that are laboring well into their 80s, trying to keep up with what they can't keep up with anymore and trying to pastor a church. They're not designed for that at that age. Can't do it. It's hard to have a vision for something that you'll never live to see. And they can't really do it. But yet they have to, because they can't afford not to anymore. And so part of the problem with the American church today is this very thing. Can I say something? And it's very bold right here. Would you let me do that? It's very bold. And again, I want to be very kind, but it is an absolute shame. I mean, it is a travesty at the highest level that cutthroat American corporations will send their business people off in retirement with greater dignity than the people of God will, for the people that He has placed in their world to serve them. Now you remember, I'm not talking about Linwood. I wouldn't say this otherwise. Y'all take tremendous care of us. You have retirement accounts for us. We are grateful for everything, and we try our best to express that. But I want the Lord's church here to know what God expects and the picture that is being given to us after everything God used Joshua to do. They sent him off to a barren place, to the very land of milk and honey that God used him to bring them to. And they sent him off to the barren place. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. We're seeing the contrast of character, and we see that classless, that careless saints and their character. But we also see the character of a classy servant. What did Joshua do? In the same way that we see this careless saints and what they were doing, ain't no character about them. We're seeing a man of God right here and his response. Joshua didn't come off to him, throw his jacket back, and say, "After everything I've done for you, you bunch of good-for-nothing, low-down buzzards, this is how you thank me?" No. Joshua said, "Okay, no problem." And with class and with character, Joshua walked off into the sunset knowing that God would take care of every detail of it. He said, "I'm not worried about all that. God's going to take care of it." Now listen to me, church. I want you to understand, you need to guard your character. You got two roads you can go down. You can go down a road of classless or casual or careless character. Or you can go down the road that Joshua went. A man who had the utmost character. As Thomas Paine said, character is much better kept than recovered. Character is much better kept than recovered. Israel, did you know this? Israel has struggled basically from their very conception. Even to this day, there's still things happening over there. They have struggled from their conception, and I believe that part of the reason could go back to what we're seeing right here in what they did to Joshua. But Joshua went on as a victor, and that's how we know him today. The contrast of character. Have some class in your walk with God. I'm not suggesting you don't. You know that, right? I'm not suggesting that at all. But I'm telling you, the world sees the contrast, and you will never be able to hide who you really are. Have some class. Walk around with your head high for God, honoring the Lord day by day. Don't just jump in front of somebody else. Don't just kick somebody else down unless they're trying to beat us to our seats. Don't do that. Show character. Show class for God. Honor Him with it. You're going to have one of two characters. You're going to have a careless character, or you're going to have a classy character. With all my heart, I want to have a classy character for the Lord. So we're seeing the completion of their business, the contrast of their character. But notice thirdly, and think of this with me, with you, there's the consistency of his convictions. I refer here to Joshua. The consistency of his convictions. This greedy bunch of God's people that we are seeing here in Canaan, in Joshua chapter 19, they really were revealing who they were, who they really were. And Joshua did as well. But when we move further and we continue to study this, we are able to further see the depth of the convictions of this man, Joshua. This old boy, he walked with God. It is shown to us in the Word of God, first of all, with how it was convictions of accountable work. Convictions of an accountable work. Look in verse number 51. The Bible says that these are the inhabitants which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, they divided for an inheritance by lot. That verse is very similar to what we read this morning, chapter 14 and verse 1. Very similar. That was at the beginning. This was at the end of it. And so we are seeing that all of this is over now. But did you catch what that verse was actually saying? Joshua, did you see it? Be it with Eleazar and the heads of the tribes. Joshua had surrounded himself with reputable people. Reputable people who assisted him and they held him accountable. I mean, listen, folks. Joshua was the God-ordained leader for the nation Israel at this point. Joshua was handpicked. He was mentored by Moses, and the people all knew it. So Joshua could have easily just gone out there and said, this is the way the mop's going to flop. This is the way the cookie is going to crumble. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it that way, how I want, when I want, and there is nothing that you can do about it. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. Pfft. This is the way it's going to be. Just deal with it. But do you know that God's man here, he did not do that at all. Why did he not do that? Because he knew this was God's work. He understood clearly that this was the work of God and the future of the nation and the very lives of the people were literally at stake. Ultimately, we understand Joshua was in charge. But every decision that Joshua ever made, it was made through deep prayer. And we're learning here that it was made under great counsel with trusted men that God had placed in his life. We are given no record in this context that any of those men ever went against General Joshua. They never even distrusted his leadership. His conviction, get this, was that he was going to live in a glass box, a glass house. There wasn't going to be anything about his life that was going to be brought into question. He was going to live a clean and a pure life so much that no one would ever be able to accuse him of anything shady. They would never be able to question his character. Never. That's how online that he really was. Now, be it corporately in the church or individually with us as Christians, can I just tell you this evening that if you want to live a victorious Christian life, and if you want to leave nothing undone in this Christian life for the Lord, can I tell you, don't ever do anything shady. Don't ever do anything that is in any way underhanded. Sometimes we do this. We get in a tight financial spot. And maybe we can get away with putting a less than estimated and priced part on something that we are repairing just to make a little bit of extra money. Or maybe we can cut back on our job and cover up this that we're doing, renovating this in somebody else's house or whatever our business may be, whatever it is. And we'll try to cut a corner here. We'll try to cut a corner there. And folks, even if they never catch it, that's a mark on our character for God. And chances are we will get caught in it sometime. And it's going to ruin us entirely. And we're always going to be looked upon as just shame. Just underhanded a little bit. Have you ever had somebody tell you something before and they told you a lie or less then what was the real truth? And here's the thing, you knew it already. You knew the truth. You had proof of it. But just to simply try to save themselves a little bit of trouble, they kind of did something a little bit shady. Underhanded, just to make themselves look a little bit better. But you listen, you will never be able to hide who you really are. While this crowd of God's people, this characterless crowd, this classless crowd, this careless crowd that was out there, while they're out there trying to undermine Joshua at Joshua's hurt and at Joshua's expense, Joshua was among his trusted people working overtime, trying to give them some things that would make them better in God's possession toward their land of victory. You'll never be able to hide who you really are. This world is looking at you now. When they come into your office, your place of business, when they come into church, when they see you at the store, what are you showing them? Are you showing them a character that's classy for the Lord or a careless one that brings into question your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Joshua, he is letting us know that he had convictions of accountable work, but he also had convictions of accessible worship. Look at verse number 51. He divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What a statement in God's word that we are given here. We know that everything that went on, it was totally above board. There was nothing underhand. There was nothing shady that was being done. Why? Because the Bible tells us it was in the presence of the Lord. It was right here in the house of God, among the people of God. Now, that's important. And I think that we all understand why that's important. But let me circle back around for just a minute to the original question. Why in verse number 50 does it say that Joshua asked for this land? Why is that? Why was it that he had an interest in that land? What was the purpose behind that? As they were establishing the nation, and as they were setting everything up, we could call the capital city, we'll call it, was in Shiloh. Because it was the capital city of sorts, this is where the house of God had been set. The tabernacle, what we would call in modern day, this was where the house of worship, the church, was. And it had been set up right there. The reason that Joshua wanted this particular plot of land, and he did not push back against it, he did not try to go the other direction, even though they should have done better for him. And there's several reasons as to why and places that it could have been. But the reason Joshua was okay with it was this. This land was only 11 miles from the front porch of the house of God. It was the closest place that he could get at that time that would get him close to the house of worship. Accessible worship. Joshua's primary concern, it was not the ground that it could yield all the great fruit and all the great vegetables. It was not the water flow that would be. It was not the real estate value that it would one day have. It was not, do they have a good school district? Do they have a good education board? Is this a conservative or a liberal district? It was not, was this be a comfortable place to retire? His number one burden is that he and his family would be in close enough proximity to the house of God, a place where they could meet God, because they knew that they would not survive unless they had God in their life. Unless they could get to the house of God. It has always blown my mind. I'm a guy that has moved 21 times in my life. I am 45 years old and I have moved 21 times in my life. 17 of those times was before I got married when I was 22 years old or 23 years old. However it was, however old I was when I got married. 17 times prior to that. Do you know one thing that was never an option in my father's home? It wasn't what the real estate market was like. It wasn't what the school district was like. Wasn't, is this going to be a good place for us to live, maybe retire one day? No. The number one criteria of everything that they looked for, is there a good church to go to? I've never understood why people relocate from one place to another, Christian families, and they just go because it's got a good school district. That's where the jobs are. And they never even contemplate, is there a house of God there for me and my family to go to? They don't realize the fact that you will not survive without God in your life and a place where you can grow spiritually. Now listen to me, and we're finished. Our commitment and our faithfulness to the house of God tells this world all they really need to know about who we really are. I know it's a Sunday night. We got a lot of people out, and there's a good crowd here tonight, and thank God for that. I'm grateful for your faithfulness. But folks, how you treat this place right here, how faithful you are to it in every way, you are revealing to this world who you really are. Joshua said, I'll take the barren land, the land with limited water supply. I'll take the land that is not going to yield and produce much fruit and it's not going to be profitable for that. I'll go and I'll settle there. I will live there. I will retire there and I will die there. I'll go because it's the closest place I can get to the house of God. Who are you really to this world today? You'll never be able to hide who you really are. Brother Timothy, you can come on to the piano. There was a Wall Street broker who had fallen in love with a beautiful young lady in New York. He was contemplating marrying her after dating her for a while, but he was a very wealthy man. The fact of the matter is, he was a little bit concerned about not knowing everything that he needed to know about this woman. Because of his wealth, he was afraid that there was going to be damage to him. So he hid his wealth. He was afraid that she may only have interest in him because of his money. And so he decided he was going to hire a private investigator. So he had a business associate of his go out and hire an investigator to go out and investigate this woman's life. He wanted to know every detail of it, but he also did not want the private investigator to know that he was the one behind it. So he had a business associate go hired, just in case the woman found out. It'd be a hallmark moment, you know, and the misunderstanding, and it would break up the relationship that there always is. And so his business associate went out and did it. Some time passed, and the report finally came back from the private detective about who this woman is. And this is what the report said. It says, I've investigated this young lady, and she has a squeaky clean life. Perfect in every detail. No flaws or mistakes. She is on the up and up in every possible way. However, there is one thing that could be a possible blip on the screen of her life. She is often seen in the company around town of a young broker whose dubious business practices and principles are well known. This guy thought he was being smart, trying to find out who she was, when in reality, he was the one that was the problem. He was the one that had the bad reputation. Church, look at me and listen to me right now. If you are looking to get ahead, but you seem to never be able to do that. If you're looking to have friends, but you never seem to be able to do that. If you are looking to be popular, but you never seem to be able to do that. If you are looking in some way in your life to gain traction, but you never can seem to do that. If you are looking to have victory spiritually, but you never can seem to do that, to leave nothing undone, but you never can seem to do that, be mindful that the problem may be and likely is you and me. Stop looking at everything and everyone else and blaming them for every problem that you've got in life. The problems that you've got with your children. The problems that you've got with your husband or your wife. The problems that you've got with your job. The problems that you've got with your addiction. Whatever it is, and start looking at yourself. And start looking at maybe you need to change your claims, your character, and your convictions, because you'll never be able to hide who you really are. Let's stand to our feet in the Lord's house tonight. Thank you so much for your kind attention.